If you listen in the podcast next week, next Sunday when we release it, there's actually going to be an exclusive Fortnite package for you available.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
That's true. That's 100% true. Hey, guys. Welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys Poopcast. I got our dear friend and frequent visitor of the show here, Christopher Bowman.
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
And we got a special guest here, the one and only Snyder.
Yeah, I'm back.
Andrew Snyder's back. He was here for the E3 Nintendo special.
I'm the optimist.
He wasn't on video, so now you got your
here I am.
Your whole serving of him.
There he is.
Directly to you.
Alright.
So
did you just do the direct?
Yes, okay. I did. Okay, so right. How you been, Bowman?
Great, man.
Yeah?
Things
That's
are good.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad things are working out for you.
Yeah, they're good. Just, okay. We've been doing our workout. We've been doing that.
Getting pumped!
We just started using this Strong Lifts app.
Yep, and I'm definitely getting stronger.
Yeah, so it's been good. It's been fun.
I could probably lift you up over my head and toss you across the room at this point.
I don't think you could ever not do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you. I consider that a compliment.
Yeah, no problem, man.
So, what have you guys been playing lately?
I've been playing Gravity Rush 2.
Okay. Well, we've heard enough about that. What have you been playing lately, Snyder?
Well, I haven't been playing a lot of video games this week, but I was playing the Octopath Traveler demo, and then I bought the game, but I haven't got a lot of time with it yet. But,
okay.
I would say that's probably the most recent game I've played a lot of time with, and before that was a lot of Fortnite.
So. Did you actually play the game, or did you just the demo?
I did the 3 hours of the demo, and then I got about 30 minutes into the game, and I had to get out of the house. I mean, I had to leave the house.
Why?
For an outing that I was doing.
What were you doing?
For, like, a party or something.
What was the party for?
I don't remember. I literally had, like, a dinner to go to or something.
If this was an interrogation, you wouldn't be doing well right now.
I'm not good at interrogations. I don't remember. I'm just saying I haven't played a lot of video games.
So I got a real life hack for you guys out there, and for you. You know, you didn't actually have to spend the $60 on the game. You could just keep playing the 3-hour demo over and over again.
Just play that first little world for them.
Right, and if you get efficient enough, you can just slam through the game in the 3 hours.
Yeah, it can encourage you to speedrun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's only the first part of the game, it's not the whole game.
Not if you know how to hack into the mainframe.
Where are we going with this?
Yeah. All right.
I guess we can start.
So I also have been playing Octopath Traveler. I played the demo, and then I didn't bother continuing my save because I only played for the first hour of the demo. I only played through one character.
Oh, okay.
And then I goofed when I played through with my first character, and you meet up with your second character. It gives you the option to, like, go through their story.
And you didn't.
And I went, no. And then after you do that, it doesn't let you go back to it?
Well, you can go in the menu and watch the thing.
Sure.
So you don't get to play through all that experience.
So, I was just like, well, when I get the game, I'll just then skip the character that I've already played through.
But you still get experience points for playing through it.
You gain, like, 2 levels.
Okay.
I'll live. Anyway, you can skip the story
with
someone. So I skipped that guy's story. I started in the demo with the scholar.
Okay.
And then I played through that. His story isn't very good. And then I stopped there. And then when I got the game, I started with the dancer. And then by the time I got to the scholar, it was just like, you want to see a story? And I was just like, nope. And that was great. So I didn't even have to play through that part of the demo. What I was saying to Bowman is, I really like what they did with it. I like the fact that the 8 stories aren't intertwined because you always have, like, somewhere. You always feel like you're going somewhere to do something. You never feel like you're just, like, playing filler or, like, aimlessly wandering somewhere.
And I haven't gotten much into the game, but from what I understand, like, it'll tell you where the next story is for each character. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it tells you there's all these characters that you still need to recruit, and then also there's here's where this person's chapter 2 or 3 is.
Okay.
And what your recommended level is for that.
Yeah, and I like when you walk into a world, it'll be like, this is the danger level, and you'll know right away if you're like, I gotta get out of here.
I actually walked into a place the other day and probably shouldn't have been there, but I just toughed it out, and I don't know if there was something, like, there was good treasure in there, but I didn't see anything else. I imagine it's probably a place that you go later in the story. Although it showed up in the map as, like, a gold icon. I don't know if that's, like, a hidden area or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard. Got my ass kicked, but,
But you made it through.
They're really forgiving with all the, like, anytime you're about to go somewhere where you might get killed, there's a save point.
Yeah.
So, they're pretty forgiving with that.
I know for me, what stuck for me right away is I really love the battle system. Like, I don't know about you, but I just think it's traditional turn-based, but the break point for me is fun. Like, figuring out how I want to attack each enemy, especially when you start getting the higher shield numbers. But that's just a personal thing for me. I just really like it.
The break is neat. It's a good addition. I like anytime there's a like priority system in a turn-based battle, that's good for me because it's not it makes it less monotonous. So I like the fact that there's like all kinds of factors and, you know, your speed and your, like, you can knock people back in place so their turn comes later and you can kind of use that. It's similar to how Darkest Dungeon is. So like it's all about like,
yeah,
figuring out where your positioning is in the turns coming up and taking full advantage of it. So you want to like kill somebody before their turn comes up so they can't hit you. Yeah, I like it. Only thing that I'm disappointed in, I guess it's just I'm still early on in the game but it takes so long to like learn skills and thus it takes so long to like change jobs and stuff. That right. The fact that I'm still playing, I'm 5 hours in and I still haven't completed a single job is kind of annoying for me because that's the kind of shit that I want to dig into. And I'm curious to see how simple / advanced the job system is, because in Final Fantasy, I'm sure it's more advanced than what this is going to be. So I don't know. I still have some question marks, but overall, I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to putting more hours into it.
So, what do you think of it so far, Bowman?
I picked it up. I've only played the original demo of it so far, which I played the Dancer, and I liked the turn-based system of it so far. And whenever you are walking around it looks like a pop-up book. The lighting's beautiful, 3D lighting. And
the only thing I don't like about the look of it is that they make the edges of the screen all blurry and dark. I don't know why they do that.
I can see that.
I don't understand.
I can see why. I never really thought of that as a hindrance, but I can see why you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, because part of the draw of the game is the visual element of it, and they make it so you can only see the center of the screen.
Did they improve the text size in this version, in the final version? Because I remember the original demo, like, the text was extremely small.
I've never noticed.
It hasn't bothered me, yeah. So maybe it must be. Because I remember the original demo, like, the old one, it was bad. So I think they did improve it, because okay. I didn't have any issue with it.
So while we're on the topic of this game, I would like to bring up for anyone listening and for you guys, well, I know Bowman knows, but did you know that Nintendo released like a printable alternate artwork for all 8 of the characters?
Yeah, I did see that.
For the case, so yeah, there's one for each character that you can print out. And
yeah, they've been doing that for a couple games recently on
the
Club.
Yeah, they did
Nintendo.
It for the DLC for Octopath.
They did
for
the Octo Expansion.
Yeah, it's so confusing. I keep wanting to say Octopath. Yeah.
Octo Expansion.
Yeah.
How many Octos do you need?
Yeah, I'm actually working on buying 9 copies of the game now, so
right.
I can have all, mm-hmm. all of them properly
okay.
displayed on my shelf.
I mean, if they ever get down to like a couple dollars a piece, maybe I will do that.
You know, there's some idiots.
Yeah,
that's
well,
going
no, that's
to do
what
that.
We're making fun of.
We always like... say that whenever we bring something up like that. We always say there's somebody out there. There's somebody out there who did it.
True.
There's a guy on Reddit who bought extra cases and did it. So like, you can buy extra Switch cases from Nintendo.com.
They're just like extra
$5 or $10 a piece.
Really?
Wow.
And he bought 9.
Incredible.
Well, he bought 8, and then he bought the game.
Just
so.
Need more pieces of plastic to have around the house.
Right.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah. I mean, it really livens up the place. So, although I do want to print I do want to eventually print out the dancer cover art and look at that fine piece of ass up on that box art.
I have a little regret because I started my demo with the hunter character, and my only negative is that apparently when whoever you start with, you cannot remove from your party at any point.
Okay.
And I'm...
Wait, what?
Yes, your starting character cannot be removed from your party. So, that is a flaw, and especially if you start with a character you don't like, that was a big negative I've been seeing in reviews.
What don't you like about her?
Well, A, I don't know, I don't...
The box art for this bitch.
Oh, she's cool, but, like, I... Her mechanics, I mean, like, she's an archer, so that's nice, but I don't want to be stuck with any character.
Yeah. Well, then, so no matter who you picked, it would be
It would be a hindrance. Okay. But, like, if I was going to be stuck with anybody, I think I'd want it to be the thief, because I actually like his character a lot.
I haven't gotten being to either stuck of those in this characters
body,
yet.
But I have to use it the rest of my
that's
life.
That's true. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's why we're going to the gym. I mean, you just got to transform it into whatever you want it to be.
I think you can go up to a 4-person party. Is that correct? Are we looking at pictures of the hunt? Oh, man. Is that getting you going? No, but as far as Octopath goes, we were talking about it before the podcast, but they've been having stock issues in certain countries. Japan specifically is having stock issues. It was the number one selling game in Japan this past
week. Statement apologizing.
Yeah,
Please understand.
Square and Nintendo.
We didn't think people gave a shit about this game. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those things where third parties presume...
It is out of stock on Amazon.
I told you it was. Listen to your papa, Pat.
But it's been in stock, like, all around the area, because, I mean,
I went to the mall, they said we have plenty in stock. So
here's an interesting tidbit about this game when it comes to Japan. This is the number one selling game for the week.
Yeah.
But it's a console exclusive... On a console that hasn't been around very long, so it's a pretty big...
But it's a console that's doing really well in Japan.
Sure. I'm just saying it's a pretty big achievement for the developer.
But if I'm not mistaken, the physical copies are only, like, a little over 100,000, so this means they didn't stock it well enough. I mean, I really think that's what it comes down to.
It's the number one selling game.
No, I mean, it's by far the number one selling
game. So they clearly sold enough
copies
of it. Number
two, it had over double sold of the number two game in Japan, so clearly they just weren't expecting it to be as big of a hit.
Well, it shouldn't be. By all reasoning, it shouldn't be as big of a hit as it is.
I think that the art style of the game and, like, the love letter to old JRPGs being on a Nintendo console like the Switch, I just think it's like a perfect storm.
That's a niche thing. People don't care about, like, retro graphics and stuff.
Right, but I just think it's an visually appealing game. Like, people that don't even care about that kind of stuff saw me, like, looking at things about it, and they're like, that looks beautiful, like, artistically. Yeah. I think people are just like, that looks cool.
JRPGs with a classic look are far more popular in Japan, so it doesn't surprise me that it's, like, as popular as it is.
But it's doing well in the States, by all accounts. It's doing
well. Hey, man, I'll come out and admit it. Several months ago, one of our first podcasts, we talked about this game. I said I didn't think it would sell well, and that it would be a failure, because the name was stupid, because it was too, I thought it was too niche of a product. So I understand, and clearly the publisher thought the same thing. That's why they didn't make a lot of copies. So,
well, they're clearly happy with the success they're having. I think it's great for the Switch because a third party title is actually doing really well, and that is a good sign for other developers to maybe say, hey, maybe we should start doing
exclusives.
Yeah, but not, you know, they don't have to be huge AAA titles.
Yeah,
but maybe we need to start putting some of these exclusives that we would have put on the PS4 or maybe the Xbox One even more so. Maybe we'll switch that over.
More Nintendo's call though too, to like to have an environment to welcome. Because I feel it's always the burden of, like, the console maker to have, like, exclusives to, like, you know, appease a publisher to be like, why should we put this on your system only?
Well, someone asked me why I thought that it was an exclusive, and I'm like, because Nintendo probably paid them.
Yeah, it was published by Nintendo.
Yeah, they probably they're basically funding it probably.
Yeah, you have foot of the bill for production.
So, and that's what you have to do. And I'm sure there's people out there that will probably buy a Switch because they want to play this game. So
Nintendo keeps claiming that that's what they want to do with this generation is have more third-party support. So if it'd be great if we can went in this direction where they continued getting in contact, if more companies reached out to them like, hey, we want to work out something too.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility.
I mean, they need that third-party support to really make a bigger dent than they already have.
This is a good success story because, like, it's just a niche game. And this is the only system that you can play it on.
But it is kind of the perfect game for the Switch.
Shut up.
No, you're not wrong.
But seriously, because...
I know that's a joke, but...
No, but because the system has kind of become this indie system.
Yes.
That, like, so the types of people that have the Switch are already into these games with, like, the retro graphics and stuff. Mm. That it kind of was just the perfect fit where, like, on a PS4 and stuff, you'd probably get a lot of, like, people being like, this looks old. Why am I paying $60 for this? But whereas with Switch, it's like, people are into that type of art style already in those games.
I mean, when you go on the eShop and you look at those top titles and like how many indie games are on there with retro 20XX and like all these games that are doing pretty mm-hmm. well that probably wouldn't do well on any other, even Steam, I don't think they're doing. I mean, how many of these developers are coming out and being like, hey, here's our PS4, Xbox, and Steam sales combined, and here's our Switch sales, which is quadrupling our lifetime sales.
Well, we all know the real reason is because there's no games on Switch.
Well, I mean,
so they're just buying all the indie games.
I think it's just the fact that the console itself being that hybrid home and handheld, like, people are literally, like, getting through games faster, too.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I can take this on the bus, or I can take this, you know, I can play it on my break at work, or, you know, where I work, I go into different break rooms, and I see people playing their Switch, like, they brought it for lunch breaks.
People share TVs. Like, I'm friends with a couple, and, like, he plays it all the time because his girlfriend's, like, watching TV or something, and he just sits next to her on the couch and plays it. And
great.
Even me, like, you can pull it out anytime easily, like, right before I go to bed, I'm playing it. It's such an easy... When you sit... It sounds silly, but, like, when you sit down and turn your PS4 on or your Xbox, like, it's like...
It's a chore.
You're getting on the couch, and you're like, I'm going to be investing a lot of time. I've said this multiple times in the podcast. It's great for short bursts, because it just doesn't have a boot up, just starts up immediately, and you jump into the games that you want, provided that they don't have crazy loading times, but for the most part, it hasn't been too crazy.
Yeah. And I think that's why indie games are doing so well, because those short pickup games are perfect for that console.
Everyone thought that...
Perfect for the Switch.
Perfect for the Switch.
Everyone thought that it was stupid that they were, like, using cartridges and stuff, but once... Every time they use cartridges, it's like...
People lose their...
Yeah, it's great. It's a great move. The quickness of it, the lack of load time and stuff really just... Fantastic.
I mean, the boot up of that system, like, when I print on my PS4, it's like...
There isn't really a boot up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, me getting to my PS4 is a chore. I have to wait for it to boot up. I have to log in. And then it's like...
And then when you boot it up, it, like, sits on that screen for, like, a good, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah. And then it's, like, sliding over to the menu for me to start my game. Like, I just feel like Switch is so much more intuitive.
The Wii U... Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, the operating system on, like, PS4 is, like, so messy. It's clean.
The failure of the Wii U was almost a necessity for this system to happen on a hardware level, because it's kind of the antithesis of the Wii U, where I don't think I've ever had a console in my life that's more of a chore to, like, get booted up and start playing and stuff as the Wii U.
Yeah.
And it's like the polar opposite of the Switch.
Mm-hmm. I even love the Wii U still, and I still play mine, and I still have issues with it, where, like, I set it up, and I got a new entertainment center, and the wood on my entertainment center is really nice, thick wood, and it's in between them. So I'm in bed, and it, like, lags sometimes, because the signal for the gamepad isn't that good.
Because
of the wood.
No.
So I have to, like, reposition it in a better place so it's got good signal. Granted, I'm right next to it.
Yeah.
I'm not even, like, in a different room or anything.
That system...
You should reposition it right into the garbage.
That system had good ideas, but the execution of it really
that was always my argument with that. Like, oh, it's going to be all touchscreen. Oh, but it's single touch. What are you doing? This is like,
yeah, and like, the connectivity between, like, that's the great thing on the Switch is it is the console. The screen is the console. So that makes it so much easier. You're not dealing with lag. You're not dealing, like, they really hit the home run with that console. We just turned this into a Nintendo podcast.
Well, all right. So, so since you're our guest, we'll let you have the first topic today.
Ooh.
What do you want to talk about here?
Hey, man. Coming up in a couple days, or probably right when this launches on the podcast, it will be the 1 year anniversary of Fortnite.
Okay.
All right. It's the game right now.
It's the game. You can be the Fortnite guy. We don't really.
Yeah, well, I'm a tour guide, and I deal with a lot of kids, and when I bring up video games, they're like, don't talk about whatever you're going to talk about. Like, Fortnite's the only game. Like, that is what people talk about.
Mm-hmm. And what a time.
And even parents talk about it. Like, it is the thing. One of the top-selling things right now at Universal is the airbrush cart outside in City Walk. Advertise. They just, we have Fortnite logos that we're spray paint, and people are like, they get lines for the cart because people just want to buy Fortnite hats and shirts.
It's a great way to get that cart shut down.
It is a true, yeah, but I guess I've seen it. No, apparently it's a licensed thing. Like, the airbrush stencil is stuff that is sold.
Oh, really?
So yeah, and I've seen people in, like, malls have
maybe
it.
Maybe I should. They're open selling up my own.
But they're selling, like, people want that stuff, and Fortnite is huge. I got made fun of by kids on tour because I haven't paid money to the game. I haven't bought all the skins, and they're like, "What are you doing? That's
so lame.
What are you
doing? What are
you doing? They're made fun of me.
I had
10-year-old. I had 10-year-old kid literally make fun of me because I'm using, like,
you just
basic
beat them up.
Skins.
Tell me a little bit about the tax code, Sonny, and then I'll let you know.
But it's funny because, like, all these
paying
people,
money for cosmetic
all these
shit,
people
kid.
Like, think it's so cool, and they're doing. They've announced they're going to have exclusive day specific, like, if you log in on July 24th, you're going to get exclusive content only on that day as a user. So they're going to get a huge influx of people logging in, which will really test their servers, so that'll be really interesting. But and they just started a new season, added new mechanics to the game, with the golf cart system that people are, like, losing their minds about.
I don't know nothing about no golf
cart. Oh, so you can get into a golf cart, and you and your three friends can literally drive around the map. So one person's the driver, and everyone else is shooting people off the side.
I mean, vehicles should have been in there to begin with for a while.
So it's apparently been, like, a ridiculous addition. People love it. I haven't gotten to play a lot since it started, but no, Fortnite, I mean, I know it'd make fun of it, and people are like, oh, it's... But it is really a big deal. It really is.
No, it's fine.
I know it's like, oh, you have our friend Lars, who's like, oh, it's only popular because it's free-to-play. It's like, there are plenty of free-to-play games that come out and are not popular.
Yeah. Paladins
Paladins is okay, and Warframe does really good, like, does have a really good core base, but we're not talking Fortnite levels. They're, like, not even half. Fortnite just came out, and they have made over $1 billion in cosmetic sales.
Yeah, I mean, you can download all the NES ROMs for free, and I don't see people talking about that.
But what I'm saying is, like, the free-to-play model can be successful, but this is a whole nother level. It's because it's also fun, and I think, like, it's a perfect storm of the type of gameplay that people wanted to play. Nobody wanted to pay for PUBG, and it had all these glitch issues and all this stuff, and people just went straight over to Fortnite. It's free, and it's fun.
So what are you doing for the first anniversary?
I'm buying a cake.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to Publix. I'm getting a special Fortnite cake.
Are you going to get the image printed on it we did for his birthday?
How's the Fortnite hentai out there? Is any good?
Rule 34, bro. Rule 34.
I'm sure. I guarantee you there's Fortnite.
I believe
Rule 34, man.
There has to be. At this point,
of course
yes,
there is.
But,
if it exists, there's porn of it.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Yeah, and Fortnite's big enough that there has to be. The pinata, probably, because the pinata is a loot drop.
Ooh,
so
okay,
I guess it's the pinata.
Yeah, I'm a big Viva Pinata hentai fan myself.
Oh, so
that falls right in my wheelhouse there.
Smooth transition.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right,
well,
I don't want to talk about that
first anniversary of Fortnite. Get out there and play it.
I just want to say that the success of this thing, I think it's really going to make publishers really reconsider free-to-play. Like, I feel like I feel like in this environment right now, Overwatch was it wasn't out yet, and they were like about to like come out with it soon. I think they'd be considering it to do a free to play approach.
I think they're going to do a free to play approach.
I think Overwatch will. I think what happened with Overwatch is that I think it will eventually move.
They're either going to transition the current game, or they're going to announce a sequel that is free to play.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, I think it's maybe one or a spinoff or something, like a spinoff style game that is more battle royale or something of that nature, and it's under the Overwatch Royale, and you get all of the base skins for all the characters, but then just like the original game, you can get all these skins that you can get for paying money and get season passes.
Hey, at least I tease people about paying for cosmetic shit in Fortnite all the time, but at least it's not loot boxes with Fortnite.
No,
they're pretty direct. They're like, you want the skin, it's this much money. I think that's the best way to do it.
And they have a season pass where it's like, hey, it's a lot less money, and if you play more, you're going to get more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so you're going to get way more skins, you're going to get way more emotes if you just play the game, and you just spend $10, and you'll get, like, $40 worth of stuff if you put in the hours.
I'm fine with it. They've proven...
And it's all cosmetic, it doesn't affect gameplay.
That you don't have to be, like, a shady asshole like a lot of companies have been with their cosmetic charges.
Yeah.
Compared to everyone else.
Right. And it's not characters. Like, it's not like Battlefront, where it's like, you want to play as Darth Vader?
That'll be $10,000.
It'll cost you $2,000, but you can do it.
Yeah, and you gotta like pre-order the limited edition. It's $100 and all this stupid shit.
No, it's completely cosmetic. The mechanics of the game is the same for you if you spend $0 and me if I spend $100.
Yeah, you're just not gonna be cool.
Yeah, you won't be as cool as I am because I spent all the money.
Yeah.
All right, we spent way too long talking about Fortnite.
Hey, we can keep talking about it. This is the Fortnite podcast now.
Okay.
This is the official...
Well, next on the Fortnite podcast, Bowman, what do you have for us?
I'm going to show you the best Fortnite strategies when it comes to not having skins. Like, how do you deal with going to school with not having skins and being poor?
Well, you just lie. You get a screenshot from a different... person's
that's,
game.
That's
and
a
then
good way.
There
say,
we go. Yeah.
Say, look at this cool skin I've got.
Yeah.
Like when we were kids, my brother stole my book of Yu-Gi-Oh cards and brought it to school with him and said they were his.
So that way he'd look cool.
Yeah, exactly.
I really want to know. I am curious about the school environment when it comes to this.
Apparently, it's a big problem.
Like, I'm sure it is.
Work at schools apparently is a huge.
Well, especially because you got made fun
of.
Phone.
Back then, you got played fun of for making playing video games, and now
it's like you get made fun of for not spending a lot of money on a free
for
video
not
game.
Wasting money on video games. Yeah,
it's incredible. Good for Epic. They figured something.
All right, we're back from the technical difficulties. Okay, so we'll use this opportunity to move on from old Fortnite. What do you got, Bowman?
I want to talk about PUBG. No, I want to talk about...
I would have murdered you.
Stardew Valley multiplayer update is finally coming out. It was in beta for a long time.
All right.
Maybe a few months. And now, August 1st, it's being rolled out on PC. They have not announced a release date for consoles yet, but I'm sure it'll be pretty soon hereafter. So, I'm excited about this. I play with it a little bit on PC, but I'm waiting for the Switch version to come out so we can all hop on together. Like, I'm so excited. I thought about you, Pat.
Yeah, I put a lot of hours into the Switch version.
And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait to build that farm with you boys.
It's going
to
be fun.
Oh, we'll have a beautiful farm.
Yeah, it's a good time. Like, you can either take your existing farm and build a cabin onto that one and have your people join you, or you can start a brand new farm with someone else together.
I feel like I want to start a new one.
I want to start a new one.
And the nice thing is, like, someone can do the cave diving while other person's working on it. And, like, you can kind of almost have a team effort on
certain
things.
Complete team effort because, like, you share money.
Oh,
so like
awesome.
So the success of everybody, like, you know, like, so you need to, like, decide, all right, who's getting the backpack upgrade right now because we got enough money for it. And you can't be greedy and selfish about it. You need to, like, decide where the money goes.
A lot of Discord.
So it sounds fun.
Conversations.
Yeah. I just wish there was a way to maybe pay, like, $5 a month to just have a constant server up there. So, like, because someone's going to need to be the host, and basically none of us will be able to play unless that person's on.
That is the crappy part about it. Yeah. What is that noise? Sorry, Mario Tennis.
Mario Tennis is dancing out there. Is giving a dance.
I guess that's our next topic.
So, yeah. I just wish there was some sort of server or something.
No, I agree. because as it is right now, if you start up the farm, but like Snyder and I are part of your farm, we can't. Let's just say Snyder's like, "Yo, you want to play?" Oh, well, Pat can't play.
Yep.
So then maybe then him and I will have to start our own farm whenever you can't play.
That is
like,
terrible.
Like, that is kind of an annoying part. So
what we need to do is quit our jobs.
I think so.
And then that way we're free all the time.
We need a Patreon.
Yeah, we get a Patreon. You know, this could actually work. We'll do a Patreon, and we'll just see. But people will be able to watch us on Twitch, and it'll be like, this is what happens when you do Stardew Valley as a full-time job. 40 hours a week, just putting in the hours from sun up till sundown, like a real
farm. For every ancient seed that we grow, you guys can donate us 10 cents.
Yeah.
And we just do like a whole farm of ancient seeds.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to quit my job and become a farmer in Stardew Valley.
In Stardew Valley.
So,
wow. That would be incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already... The wheels are already turning here.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, all right. Anything else to say about Stardew Valley's multiplayer, or just that it's coming?
I mean, it's coming out. It's excited.
Okay. He's excited, ladies and gentlemen. You got a date on that for us?
August 1st.
August 1st. And PC. That for PC?
For PC.
When's that old Switch coming?
They haven't released a date yet, but they...
They lied and said that the Switch would be the first one to get it.
No, they didn't. They said
it'd be the first console to get it. The
first console, yes.
So they can...
Well, then what if I got a Steam box?
That's still PC.
But it's... No, but those consoles they made a few years back. Yeah.
But it's still a PC.
Well, technically the Switch is a PC then, too. No, it's not a PC because it's not running Windows on there. It's a Steam box.
Gotcha.
Ugh. Well, I'm glad that did so well.
All right, well, I mean, I guess you can voice your complaint about that. And
all right.
You got him.
I got him.
You go over to old Chucklefish, you tell him the business.
Yeah, you listen, you chuckle fuck. Where's my Switch online? All right.
Pat, what do you have for us?
Nothing. Snyder, you're up. I'm host. I'm the host.
Oh, okay. You had topics.
I don't. I got...
Was Octopath literally the only topic you had?
That was yours, man.
Oh, well, God. Well, we're screwed.
Listen, pal, I'm the host. I bring it together. I do the editing and stuff. I can read off my shopping list.
Something interesting.
Floss, deodorant.
Shut up. Something interesting that has happened is that Nintendo has filed a lawsuit against two popular console ROM sites, which I've never heard of these two sites, and I've been downloading ROMs for a long time. I'm a veteran ROM downloader.
Is it free ROMs?
No. I was...
I thought for sure it was free ROMs.
I thought it was gonna be like ROM Nation. I forgot, Emunation is one of them.
Who are the ROMs?
LoveROMs.com and LoveRetro.co.
So basically what you're saying is that ROMs are okay. It's the free love that Nintendo's against.
Against the love ROMs.
But if by free love you mean that they post actual emulators and bios on there, and I think the fact that they post their they actually use like Nintendo logos and imagery sometimes. Okay. So
that's probably exactly
I think that's really what's going on here. Because Nintendo knows about this shit, and they usually don't care, especially when it comes to fan projects. They'll wait until the fan projects are even done, until they even take action.
Yeah, to crank them real good.
Well, just because, by law, if you're setting a precedent by allowing these things to happen. You're saying, because they can use that in a court case. It's to protect your property.
Right.
I should shine them on to this little spray paint booth over at Universal. Probably painting some of their logos.
Well, I mean, soon enough they're going to be in Universal.
So. Yeah, true. So
it's interesting, okay. But I mean, yeah, it all boils down to how you post your website. Does it look like you're clearly profiting off it or not off their images? If it's just you having a bunch of files, the ROMs on there, they usually don't care. Like it's illegal, but they don't care enough to like really pursue it. So I don't think Nintendo likes dropping the hammer on these things. It's just. They have to protect the property at this point.
Well, yeah, so it's like you said earlier, there's a precedent that it's legal stuff. I don't know it that well, but there's like a precedent set when someone's using your like your logos and stuff, your likeness or whatever.
And you allow it for so long. Yeah,
exactly.
Then you can argue in court that you had no problem with
it. If you call it Funtendo and the logo's black and whatever, then they don't care. But
yeah.
It's interesting. Well, it's also cutting into their NES Classic revenue, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just destroying it.
But here's the big thing, though. Maybe this is, and I don't know if you looked into this, why they might have done the lawsuit, but did they have the little disclaimer about the 72 hours, you must delete it?
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Wow. Everyone follows that disclaimer.
Yeah, so...
Because ROMs are technically legal if you own the game, if they're backups.
Yeah, that's the great thing for me, is that I can download all the ROMs I want.
Right, you own every game ever.
I do. So,
all the games of all time.
I own the one that really matters.
So I
do
have,
you know what it is?
The only one that matters? Mario Brothers 3?
RC Pro-Am 2.
RC Pro-Am 2, okay.
Oh, God.
All right, so, what else you got? You were about to say something.
Well, so while we're on the topic of retro games, I just wanted to kind of bring up, so I don't know, this won't really apply to you, Snyder, but you can still comment on it.
Okay.
Is that?
Oh, I know. TurboGrafx-16 box.
Boxes, yes. No. What I want to talk about is, what kind of advice would you give yourself starting your retro, like, let's just say you just now got into retro collecting, and like you just randomly got curious, like kind of like when we did when we went to the garage sale and we picked up a few games, and then we kind of just got into it. Knowing all that you know now about retro collecting, what would you suggest to some, like, if you could talk to yourself when you first started collecting, what would you be like? Don't fucking do that. Don't do this. Or go here and buy this. What would you suggest?
Don't support Cybertron.
Seriously though,
I think I've always been pretty strict and good of the things that I bought. I very rarely, and even when I first started, did I ever get like a bad deal or anything. So you know, there's nothing really to say. I just maybe focus on just the stuff that you think you're gonna play, and don't just buy shit because it's a good deal.
Yeah,
I think that would be the best piece of advice that I could give myself, is don't just buy something just because it's a good deal. Only get it if you're really going to play it or you really want it.
I think my suggestion would be, like, a lot of those, like, popular titles, we were like, we got to get those, like the Mario RPG.
Right.
And like, what else? Just, like, the big heavy hitters that, like Donkey Kong Country series, stuff like that. Games that you're clearly going to come by, and then we would see, and then when I would see them for even a slightly good deal, I'd be like, oh man, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
But I would probably give my advice, like, don't worry about those games. You're gonna get them eventually for a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's another thing I would say, is just kind of hold off, and if it's a common game, you're gonna come across it for, like, a couple dollars at some point. Or just be given it. Like, you know, my friend recently moved and gave me a bag of Game Boy games, and like there was a Pokemon Blue and Red in there, so I didn't buy those. I think I still had them, but yeah. So you come across these games, you will. So
I've come across them multiple times. I think what I would tell myself too is just don't be afraid to talk about it. Just tell everyone that you collect retro games, because I've gotten so many games that way.
Yeah.
That's been a huge part of my collection.
People doing, like, spring cleaning, and they're
people
like...
People walk in, yeah.
Hey, Bowman, like,
I know you like these retro games.
Here.
Well, I had a coworker call me up and said, hey, someone, I heard that you like retro games. I want to get rid of these. And she was actually not even asking me if I wanted them. She was just like, do you know where I could take these? And I said, me. You could take them to me. And I got them for a great deal.
Give them to me!
Yeah. I also would, looking back in certain things, I would just not be... I would get uncomfortable buying games from friends. I think now, looking back, I would just throw a price out there and not even care anymore. Because that's burned me in the past. Where, like,
You didn't want to screw them over? But it's like, if they don't know what they have.
I've hesitated on big game lots that ended up being shut down because I was hesitating. I told you, like, my old manager, I was, like, at his place, and he was about to give me, like, a big box of games for, like, close to nothing, and then, like, not even, like, 5 minutes later, his girlfriend walks in.
Oh, you blew it.
And interrupts the
deal. I didn't realize that.
And interrupts the deal.
I didn't realize you were, like, that close to getting it.
I mean, I had just started looking at them, and we were, like, starting to negotiate price, and then she walked in.
And was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was just like, well, we should look up eBay prices. And then she was looking out at them and then doing what a lot of people do when they see these games. They recognize them.
Uh-huh.
And they go, don't sell these. and they're never going to touch them.
Like, yeah.
That happens so often. I know Mario Brothers. Yeah, I know Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, but you're not going to play them.
Right.
I would say...
I don't have retro games because I know I'm not going to play them.
Will you play the virtual console?
Would you realistically? You have a SNES Classic and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be more for, like, when people want to, like, play it with me, like, the two-player games, like, on the SNES. And I do want to play through some of the games on there, this is why I own it. But, like, I've never played a Final Fantasy game, so I'm probably going to play, I think it's Final Fantasy 3 American versions, which is 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not a bad one to start out with.
Yeah, so
supposedly like the best one. I haven't played it, but
so I want to maybe check that out. And there's a couple other games that I've never played before on the Super Nintendo that are on there. And the NES Classic, there's a couple games that I'll play just for fun, like that are pick up and play stuff. Like I can pick up and play Mario. I don't need to play through the whole thing, but sometimes I'm just like, yeah, World 1-1. Like,
it's for a good mood. Mario's a great game to just like, yeah, whatever, fuck it, I'll play a couple levels. Yeah.
But I'm not gonna sit there and like religiously play them, and that's why I like the classic consoles because I'm not taking up a lot of room. They're like this big.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's where I have moved into. We've talked about this previous podcast where I am in a position right now where I have to continue to sell my games. It sucks. But I'm keeping the things that are really, like...
I tell you, it sucks real bad.
Shut up. You're enjoying it.
You're like, yes.
Yeah. But the games that I'm, like, super nostalgic about, I'm going to put away in a box, and I'm just going to put them away for a while. But, right. Like, for the most part, though, my retro collection, I got this NES Classic, the NES Classic, and I did the Easy Mod, and then I went to loveroms.com. No. And then added the games that I wanted to play, and I actually do, like, enjoy playing them, and it's getting play. Like, I'll have friends come over, and I played, like, the Super Nintendo Sunset Riders, which I've always wanted to play, but mm-hmm. It's, like, a $70, $80 game right now. So, I'm moving towards emulation, but I guess when it comes to, like, talking to myself back then, it would just, the main things would be... Probably what you said, are you realistically going to play these games?
Yeah.
And that was a problem that I had, because I was pretty spoiled as a kid, and we owned, like, every system. Yeah. So I would run across every dumb game that I've ever seen, and which was a lot, and I'd be like, oh, wow, I remember this. I should get this. And it's like, okay, great. Am I going to play caveman games for Nintendo? No.
You're definitely not going to play that music video maker for Sega CD.
For Sega CD,
what
yeah.
What about MCKidz?
I would play that.
Not a bad platformer.
I'll be honest, I played the crap out of that one.
I would play that, but just other examples of just horrid games that I would just pick up because I recognized it and I gotta have it. And collecting's like a lot of fun at first, especially when you like don't have anything. So like everything is like, especially when you see stuff at a garage sale, and you never see anything. So when you do, you're like, oh my God.
It's the same rush that you get when you win at gambling.
I think so.
So
you go to so many garage sales or flea markets, and you
when you finally hit that big win, you're like you get that dopamine rush, and you're just like you got to find more. I mean, when we started, we were nuts about it. We would go out every weekend,
hell yeah,
5-6 in the morning, hit every garage sale in the area, go to every flea market, and just every fucking nook and cranny in town, you'd be looking around for boxes of games. And we would find stuff, but you worked your ass off for it. And it was rare to find, like, a legitimately big buy, you know? Like, I got, like one time I got, like, a Genesis or two Genesis and, like, a box of games for, like, $7. You didn't find that stuff often, but when you did, it was like, this is fucking amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was fun, but there was a lot of waste time.
Yeah.
Just a lot of just going to garage sales and just a lot of looking through junk and not finding anything. Or just a lot of discouraging, frustrating moments where you run into stuff and the person's a complete idiot about it.
Yep.
And, like, that would happen a lot. The flea market, we would have frustrating moments.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was packing up his stuff and we looked over and was, like, looking through his stuff and he was, like, so frustrated with us.
I don't remember.
He thought we were resellers.
Oh.
And he, like, kind of freaked out on us. He was just, no, I don't need any resellers here, and, like, we weren't even asking for, like, unreasonable prices, but since, but, like,
yeah.
Retro collecting is so frustrating because so many people just think their shit is just worth so much, and it's really not, and, like, coming from someone now who, like, has, is continuing to sell off his collection, it's such a hassle to sell stuff, and I'm not even asking for, like, retail price at all. I'm asking for, like, 50% off retail.
Yeah. Right.
And people,
I think it's getting better though. I see less and less resellers and stuff around.
It's not
scalpers.
Viable.
Yeah,
it's not. It's really stupid. You're better off like fucking growing carrots in your backyard.
Yeah.
Like you really are.
No,
like
it's not a hobby that you're gonna make a lot of money doing.
No,
that's not why you get into it. So.
If you have a store that's like sustainable and like you know you have people coming in and a good clientele, I see something. But like you're not making a lot of money out of it. Like it's not.
No. It would have to be a side part of your business, not the main part.
That side hustle. All right, you got anything else for us?
So
see another topic from the guest boy.
There is a PS4 physical release that I want to get. I don't, and it's not Kingdom Hearts 3. I will be buying that, by the way. But
doesn't look good.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter.
Great voice acting.
I'll be quite honest. It doesn't matter. Like, it could get a 1 out of 10. I will
pay
$60
for it. That's fine. I mean, it'll be the same way if they release RC Pro Am 3.
Right. Like, it's just, I've been waiting for a long time for that game. But that's not what I want to talk about. They're doing a physical re-release of one of my favorite wrestling game series of all time.
Really?
Fire Pro Wrestling. Yeah.
But the physical edition is going to have a partnership with New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is my favorite promotion from Japan and in the world. Well, I'm wearing a shirt from them right now. But, I'm gonna buy it. And I'm very excited. The commercial for it's absolutely absurd. It's like the wrestler's like playing on the couch, and then like they do a move in the screen, and then it cuts back to Kenny Omega like upside down, like on the couch, like selling the move, and it's absolutely absurd.
Is it an international release?
Yes.
So it's in Japanese language.
There's an English version that will be
in Asia, or is there an American release?
There's an American release.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Who's publishing it?
You just asked, really. Spike Chunsoft.
Okay.
Sorry.
So this is the new game that came out last year?
Yeah, this came out. Yeah. It was in beta, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And then it, like, it's been...
Ian talks about this game a lot.
Yeah. So I really enjoy those games. I had the PS2 version, and I played the hell out of the Game Boy Advance version. I it's a 2D sprite game, so it was perfect for the Game Boy Advance, and,
perfect for the Game Boy Advance.
It was perfect for the Nintendo Switch. It is perfect for the Nintendo Switch, but they probably won't ever put it on there, but.
Yeah, there's not that WWE was, like, really great for Switch.
Well, like I said, this is not a graphically intensive game.
Yeah.
So
it's like isometric.
It has, like, it's, like, 2.5D because it's 2D sprites with some like 3D texture, but it's not graphically intensive. But it's got a ridiculous. It probably is the single greatest creative mode ever in wrestling like games. It's just absurd. And you can like download other creators' rosters, so you can put like whole like I'm sure people will make WWE rosters and other. Like old 90s All Japan or New Japan, and you'll be like, oh, I'm just gonna add these 20 wrestlers.
Yeah, so I was actually about to bring that up. This game has like a setting where you create a character or whatever with like move sets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you can like basically upload all your. I don't know if you can upload the character directly for people to download, but I know at the very least you could just say like, if you want this guy to be in this game, these are the stats, these are the moves you put in, or so on and
so
forth.
I mean, that part... So, the original... the old games, people... You couldn't download other people's creations.
Right.
They put them on message boards, and you literally would get, like, a whole list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can literally just
upload it,
and someone can download it immediately.
So like, it's like Mario Maker, but it works right.
And then, of course, the people that are, like... The people that are most known for creating content will have the most downloads, probably because they have a website or, you know, message boards they're already popular on. So they're going to have the higher, download rates anyways. But there's a lot of people who spend a lot of time. And it's not just wrestler downloads. Logos, so they'll create wrestling rings that look exactly like the old, like certain promotions of different eras. And, like, they do, like, full graphic art like for it, and it can upload it to the server, and then the mechanics are, because it's not 3D, but yeah, it's a lot more intuitive. It's hard. It has a really big learning curve once you get it. It's not as, to me, it's much more challenging and it's much more engaging because, like, certain, you can't just spam your moves. Like, you have to build up your moves as you go along. You can't just hit, like, a haymaker right from the beginning. It's all punches, kicks, and, like, minor body slams. And then as the matches go on, it, like, it works like a real wrestling match where you're building up over time. And I'm excited. And the fact that they're actually going to, like, New Japan's going to actually have, like, a real presence again in video games in America. Because they used to have games in Japan years ago. But, I mean, it's been a long time. So the fact that, I mean, they're in Yakuza 6. Like, several of their wrestlers are characters in the game. But they're, and Tekken. But they haven't had, like, a real wrestling game presence. So it'll be cool. And it's a kind of a cool niche game in America that's gotten better over the years. So pretty for sure people like
PC Engine game of it too.
So there. I'm excited. I'm like genuinely excited, and it's got like a cool graphic art with all the New Japan talent that's going to be like for the physical edition. So it'll be like it's like Fire Pro Wrestling cross New Japan Pro Wrestling, and like that's how they're releasing the game physically because it was digital only on PS4.
Yeah,
and it is PS4 exclusive in consoles. As far as I know, it's not an Xbox. It's not on Switch.
When's it coming out?
I think it's September.
How much is it?
If it's late August. I quite honestly don't know. I want to say it's 40, but it might be 30, but I want to say it's around $40.
Sounds neat. Sounds like something that even I wouldn't mind picking up to like play with our friends online and stuff.
Yeah,
four-player games.
It's on PS4, so it's probably going to be cross-platform and all that.
Right.
That's they're still riding that like
not
stubbornness.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. They've gotten so much negative press for that, and they're just like holding steady.
Fuck you, asshole.
Yeah, well, they have all the money. What do they need to?
I love
the victor goes the spoils.
I can't wait for them to fall on their face because they're going to.
It happens all the time.
It happens every cycle. So it was Sony, it was Nintendo, then it was Sony, then it was Microsoft, then it was now it's gonna be Sony again.
Yeah, like, whoever's doing the best ends up falling on their face.
Nintendo kind of does like their own weird.
Well, but even then, you look at the Wii sold the best, and then they released the Wii U, and then they're like, nope, we blew it.
But during that, the 3DS did very well. To be fair,
and then before that, the Super Nintendo did great, and then they released the N64 and GameCube, and were like, derp. Again.
Yeah, but that was two consoles. They didn't hit.
Yeah, so it took them twice to goof off.
Yeah.
And then the Wii just
like, all right, fine, we'll get those discs on there, but they got a mini
yeah, DVD. Exactly.
It's so funny that like everyone freaked out having discs, and now we're all like, yeah, cartridges are back.
Yeah, well, the technology in cartridges has gotten really good.
Yeah, they're better than the discs now. Yeah.
My only issue with Switch cartridges is all these third parties doing the smaller cartridges and making me download the rest of the game.
I think they're idiots, and I think I think it does affect their sales.
I won't buy them.
I would have bought it.
I don't touch them. Like, the Mega Man one that came out, I'm not fucking touching that.
Yeah, I would have bought it.
I'll buy it. I would maybe buy it digitally, but I will not buy it.
I just hope people send that clear message and don't buy them, and
I'm just going to buy the...
The cards will keep lowering in price.
I'm just going to buy the PS4 version because it comes with both discs.
Right.
For the Mega Man X collection, so...
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, I get it, they're cheaper, but, like, that has to affect sales where people are like, I don't really want... Like, the reason you buy physical, besides being a collector, but for a lot of people, the reason why people buy physical is because they don't want to take room on their hard drive. It's not because they're collecting games. Most people aren't game collectors. I would say majority of gamers are not game collectors.
Yeah, yes, of course.
So the reason they buy physical is because they don't have a huge hard drive. They don't have a 1 terabyte hard drive hooked up to their PS4. I know I don't. So like for me, if I get digital, I have to, like with Switch, one thing I do like is that I can archive the game and keep my save data. So like I will play a game and then be like, okay, I'm done with NBA 2K17. I'm going to archive it. All my save data is there, but I'm not having 30 gigs or whatever it is for that game. I refused to buy it physical because I had to have a cartridge plus download for the game.
Yeah, it's what's even the point then?
So I was like, nope, I'm not going to buy it. And then WWE was the same thing. I refused to buy it, and apparently it was awful, so I didn't buy it anyways.
Yeah.
But when I see that ugly white
strip, I feel like Nintendo's like shaming them for going that option. Like, all right, you can sell it this way, but
we're gonna make this ugly, just put this giant piece of
shit on your
white
cover.
Strip with mm-hmm. that ugly blue internet logo.
To me, that's just the warning label that just says, "Don't buy this."
Yeah,
it's like their version of the Scarlet Letter. Like, it's just like
when I see it, my brain just goes, "Not like, buying that."
I'm thankful. I'm like, "Oh, cool! I don't have to buy this game now."
Yeah,
like
it just disappoints me. Like.
It's just they're being cheap asses.
And especially because this system's doing well. If you put a good game on there, people will buy it.
People will buy it, yeah.
At this point, it's been proven. I mean, look at Octopath Traveler. That game shouldn't have sold well. It did. And it will continue to do so for at least the time being. It's getting great reviews. It's going to help its sales. Like,
need to get me one of them donuts for this chair here to sit on.
You're going to break your My
ass hurts. So, it's stupid, but I imagine they're hurting it because for like the Mega Man collection, those games aren't very big.
No, that was the inexcusable.
And what they did is they bought the smallest size SD card, 1 gig, and it's like you couldn't have shelled out the extra couple dollars per copy.
People figured out that they like even then they could have compressed it better and fit it in there. They're not big files. Like they just were lazy.
Yeah,
they were like, nope. You're going to download it. Like, we're just getting... You're buying this for the box and the towel.
So, did it come with a towel?
It came with, like, a terry cloth.
So what's great for me, though, is that if GameStop does what they're supposed to do properly, I should be able to pick up the used copy of that for, like, $5 because there's no second game in it. And it's a used copy of a game that's normally, like, $10. So,
well, I would presume that, but their Bayonetta prices are absurd.
They're only for the ones that include the second disc.
No. You're talking about the Switch. The Switch Bayonetta is like, does not include Bayonetta 2, $40. And I'm like,
the game's
what?
20 on. Yeah, the game's 20
Why?
On.
Why? You're getting... 20.
The first game?
Oh, yeah, the on the eShop.
The one that they're actually selling.
You're paying all this money box that has both games.
I thought it includes Bayonetta 2 on the cartridge and not the first one.
Correct. So it's just you're just getting Bayonetta 2.
So sure. So you're charging $40 for it. The game is what, 60 on the shop?
$50, I think.
$50.
Like,
so it is cheaper, but for Mega Man, it's like the first collection is $10 or $15. So if they're selling just the cartridge with it, I'm like, they should be selling it for $10 or less. I'll grab that, and then whenever I want to play the second part of it, I'll just buy it digitally on sale or whatever. So
I just still hate that ugly logo on that box.
Yeah, it sucks. Although I think they were lenient on one game recently that required it, and they allowed them not to put it on there. They changed the box art.
Really?
Yeah. They allowed them to change it. I forget the game. I'll look it up real quick.
As long as like you can actually play the game. Like, I feel like if you can play like the majority of the game without downloading, you're fine, because Doom doesn't have it on there. But you have to download the multiplayer if you want to play the multiplayer. And I think that's
fine,
though.
Because you can play a single player. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's fair, because like, I don't even care about the multiplayer anyway. But...
Yeah.
Also, if you resell that cartridge, it's not going to affect the user.
It was Wolfenstein. Right. I think they allowed them to change the box art. This is what it originally looked like with the big logo.
What
did
they switch
it to? And I think they just let them do a normal...
Even though it has a download?
Yeah. So, because it's one of those things where they want third-party publishers. Like, with Mega Man and stuff, they could have easily put it on there. With Wolfenstein, it's like, they want those games to be on there, and it's like, well, if we don't put a download on there, you're not getting it.
But games like Wolfenstein are all excuse.
Yeah, exactly. That's
because
my point.
Because games like Wolfenstein are buying the biggest cartridges.
Right, exactly.
They're
so,
not cheaping out and buying a lesser
cartridge.
And
a lot of it also is Nintendo's fault, because they are refusing to manufacture the bigger cartridge size until next year. And so they only go up to like 32 gigs right now, which is nothing.
Yeah.
So
didn't they create a 64? Is that...
They are going to, but they're not. They refuse to produce it yet. So.
All right. Well, that goes on Nintendo. But it does affect it.
It'll get better as it goes on, but right now it's shit.
So, all right. What, you got anything else for us, Bowen?
Am I the topic man tonight?
He did the last one.
You're Mr. Topics. Oh, okay.
You shut up and you listen to my hosting.
Star Topics.
You're hosting.
You got them Star Topics over there.
No.
Okay. Mr. Guest, what else you got for us? Did you write anything down, or are you just putting it off the dome?
I'm winging it.
Okay.
No.
I gotta do everything around here.
Right. There's a new Pokemon Go community day coming up. Since none of you a-holes talk about that shit either.
We don't I'll like bring that
it
Pokemon.
I'll bring up Pokemon Go. Bring it up.
We got Eevee Day coming up on August 11th. And you can get shiny Eevees. Mm. So, I'm going to take
bury my dick in that ass.
You still play Pokemon Go?
So, I play it casually. My mom plays it every single day.
Moms love that shit.
Yeah. But the community days are legitimately fun. I went to Lake Eola for the Blastoise, or the Squirtle with some...
What are the crowds like?
There's probably...
Not size. What kind of people come out to it?
Mostly women. Okay. Actually, like college age women, and then
I gotta play Pokemon Go, yeah.
And then old moms, and then a lot of men. Like, it's honestly all ages though, and people are helping each other. It was like a really cool environment. People were like, "Hey, just so you know, this Pokestop over here, I got a shiny Squirtle from it, like with the glasses." And everyone was like, "Awesome!" And like everyone was working to no, but it was cool. It was a genuine community day. Like when you go to a big event environment like that. People, like, I know, we want to make fun of it. I get it. It's Pokemon Go.
No, we want to make fun of it. You like it.
I make fun of it. You like it. You're good.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's cool to see people, like, be really involved and help each other out and get excited. The raids, like, because I got tired of it very quickly when the initial launch. Like, I played it. I had to wait because my phone, I had a broken phone, so I had to wait literally 3 months after it came out. I got so excited. I played the fuck out of that game for, like, or experience. I don't know if it's a game. But I played it for like maybe 2 months straight, nonstop. And then I got tired of it because it was just like, okay, catching more Pokemon. And there was no... Like, now they've added missions. They've had the research. They have all these things that you can engage in. And it will reward you for doing it. Like, for every stamp that you get. Then you unlock the special Pokemon, like, with the special move. Or legendary Pokemon, or whatever it may be. The raid battles are really cool. I want to hate it, because,
Let me just ask you this. When are they releasing Pokemon Go out and vote at the polls?
I mean, they're actually doing a huge event for polling stations.
They're going to put
November.
Joke's on you, pal.
They're going to have I just voted Pikachu if you go to the polling station.
Are they really?
No, I just made that up. I don't put it past them, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean...
They
that might be a problem.
Put a Pokestop at the voting station.
I'll be honest. Like, I've missed other community days, but the idea of having Squirtle Squad on my phone was like enough of an appeal of my. Like, I was like, oh my god, I can have Squirtle Squad. That was literally the appeal of me going and sweating my ass off at Lake Eola in July. But I did it. It was fun. I had a good time, and I love Eevee. It's like the Eevee set, like the Eeveelutions, is my favorite Pokemon.
Eeevee-lutions?
Yeah. You didn't know that? That's what they call them.
Vaporeon.
Vaporeon.
I'm
Umbreon,
familiar with
Vespion.
The evolutions. I just...
No, I love all the Eevee. I love Eevee and all of her evolutions. Mm-hmm. So,
hashtag squad.
Hashtag Eevee squad. But no, the idea of getting the shiny Eevee and all that stuff, it's going to be fun. Listen.
No, yeah.
you,